Tonight I'm going to be looking at another subject in which to preach. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17. We're going to be taking our thoughts from verses 11 through verse number 19. And as you're turning there, I want us to be considering the month that we are in, November. It's where America sets one day aside to give thanks. We know for a fact that as the people of God, we are to always be thankful. But does this happen automatically? Is this something that we are born to do? I believe that the Bible clearly teaches us that we learn thanksgiving through the Scriptures. That's why it's important for parents to teach their children as they are bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They are teaching them this great characteristic, this great ideal, this great attitude of thanksgiving. As we are embarking on the Thanksgiving holiday, I want us to be considering and pondering, how thankful are we? Are we thankful for what God has done for us, or our family members, or jobs, the rain that we receive, the health that we have, or maybe the health that we don't have? Are we thankful for those things? The Bible clearly teaches us, and we'll look at that in a few minutes, that in everything we ought to give thanks. Why? Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. From the time of Abel in the book of Genesis to John the Revelator in the book of Revelation, we see that the Bible is full of thankfulness. Men who are thankful, women who are thankful, and they would offer up a thanksgiving offering unto God. Well, our thanksgiving offering unto God today would be from the fruit of our lips. We would say to God, thank you, praise you. Or we would do his will. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, when we do the will of God, we are telling God, thank you. Thank you for being creator. Thank you for sending Jesus as our savior. Thank you for giving us a great place of refuge called the church. Thank you. David often would say thank you to the Father. Solomon, I'm reminded of him in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 4 through verse number 6. After they completed the temple, we see that Solomon, he praises God in thanksgiving, and he says, you are a great God, for the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. It's amazing that he understood who God was and wanted to give God thanks at the completion of the temple. But here in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, we come across a very interesting passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, as I was perusing through it on today, I put on Facebook that this particular passage of Scripture always intrigues me. Why? Because Jesus is dealing with 10 lepers. If we understand the lepers, we understand how they had this contagious disease, and how they were quarantined into an area where just lepers were. As a matter of fact, they could not spend time with their families. They could not have the time to embrace their families. So here Jesus, as we see him and the lepers, they notice him and they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. Next thing you know, we find Jesus and he speaks their leprosy literally off of their bodies. They go, show yourself to the priest. It's amazing that as they went away, one who was a Samaritan saw that he was healed. And you know what he did? He turned around and said what? Thank you. He fell down before Jesus. Now, something that's very interesting about this passage is that thankfulness began inwardly within him. When he saw his condition, he saw his cleared up condition. Can you imagine waking up and going to bed every day and you're seeing leprosy upon your body? You know that it's contagious. And then you understand that who did this for me? Jesus. Jesus took away my leprosy. In his mind, he saw that he was cleared of his leprosy. And he went back and he fell before Jesus. Now, friends, that's a powerful point. Because at first they yelled out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy upon us." No longer did they have to yell that. Here the Samaritan could run at the feet of Jesus and literally in front of him, worship him. You know, that's a powerful concept. That we ourselves could not come before God. But praise God for the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ and what Jesus did for us. And now we can come before God spotless. For we understand that God has nothing to do with sin. We'll come back to this text. We understand that Jesus also taught his disciples how to be thankful. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, as Jesus was instituting what we partake every first day of the week, the Lord's Supper, you know, he gave thanks unto the Lord. He taught them to give thanks for what was going to be taking place in their lives, yea, the lives of the church. We remember the Lord's death till he returns. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul there was thankful to God. As a matter of fact, in verse number 14, there the Bible teaches us that he gave thanks to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because now Jew and Gentile could be in one location, no longer separated for spiritual reasons. You know, shouldn't we be thankful for the church? The Bible teaches us in Colossians 3 and verse 15 that we ought to be thankful for the church. It's an attitude. It's an ideal. It's a characteristic that must be taught. But then we see John the Revelator. Turn to Revelation 4, verse 8 and 9. As we come to a conclusion of introductory material. In Revelation 4, verse 8 and 9, Jesus gives John a peek into the throne room. Now, I don't know about you, friends, but this is a magnificent picture, if you will. Now, who else could tell mankind about what was going on in the throne room, where God sits on his throne? Where Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, and they yell out, "Holy, holy, holy." Notice the reference there in verse 8. Here they cast their crowns off those 24 elders, and they yell out, "Holy, holy, holy." The living creatures are yelling out, "Holy, holy, holy." And in verse number 9, notice what takes place in that particular passage. And those living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. You know what that teaches us? Brother Raphael, that teaches us that thanksgiving not only takes place in the realm of the humans, the physical realm, the realm filled with time, but also in the timeless realm. In eternity, the spiritual realm. Thanksgiving is given unto God. Isn't it amazing that we can give thanks to God down here in the midst of time? And in the eternal realm, thanksgiving is given unto God. Which means that as God is teaching us how to be thankful down here, when we finally get back home to God, that's what we will be doing as well. Throughout eternity, we will be given thanks to God. Let me say this. A person that has not been trained by God to give thanks now won't have to worry about giving thanks later. Because they won't be with God. The unthankful will not live with God. And America doesn't teach us thanksgiving. If anybody teaches us thanksgiving, it is God himself. He's the one that teaches us how to be thankful.
Dictionary.com defines thanks or thanksgiving as this, as a grateful feeling or acknowledgement of a benefit, a favor, or the like. It is often expressed by words or otherwise. But the Bible clearly teaches us what thanksgiving is. Let's read Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. We just went over it from a glossary perspective. Now, I want us to read the words of God himself. Now, it happened, verse number 11. As he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. According to Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, they had to stand afar off, and they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." Why? Because of their leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, notice what he did, he glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You know what that also teaches us? You know what Jesus is saying? He is saying that I expected 10 to come back because all 10 were cleansed. You know, that's fair, right? Isn't that fair, Brother Wood? That's fair. That's fair for Jesus to expect the 10 to come back because there was 10 that was cleansed, that were healed from a long life disease that was no cure for. Sounds like sin. There's no cure for sin outside of God. One cannot cure themselves of sin. One cannot do anything within their own power to have their sins extinguished, forgiven. They have to go through God, through Jesus Christ. Verse number 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? You know what God, Jesus is teaching us also? That giving thanks is equated, here it is, to giving God glory. How do we give God glory? By saying thank you. By living holy lives. By helping our fellow man. By loving our brethren. By keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. That's how we give glory to God. Because we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, that being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill, men will see your good works and do what? Glorify God. They will even give God glory when we ourselves are walking according to the Spirit's teaching. Galatians 5, verse 16. He said unto him in verse number 19, "Arise, go your way, the faith hath made thee whole." I just want to make a couple of points, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, a thankful heart is shown in a multiplicity of ways. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 22. As we embark on this Thanksgiving holiday, we ought to be telling our neighbors and showing them that we are a thankful people, regardless of what takes place around us. Friends, our attitude does determine our altitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16 through the end of this particular chapter. Notice what a thankful heart looks like. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit. You know what that means? Don't put the fire out. You know, sometimes our fire, especially as Christians, can begin to dwindle depending on circumstances and situations in our lives. And we stop going to God as often as we used to in prayer, in meditation of the word. We begin to wane in our trust
Don't quench the word in your life. The word is all we have that's going to guide us and lead us and strengthen us, admonish us, encourage us, help us. Don't quench the spirit. Paul said, don't quench the word. Despise not prophesying. In our day, it would be despise not preaching of the word. Don't look down at the preaching. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every appearance or form of evil. Friends, what a great attitude that Paul is telling the Thessalonian brethren to continue to have. Have this attitude. Why? Because this is an attitude of thanksgiving. Number two, our thanksgiving is shown in our giving to God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Here, as we look at this quick point, and it's a very brief point, because Paul is thus teaching the Corinthian brethren now, looking at the church at Macedonia. Hey, these individuals are thankful to God. They're willing to give to the cause of Christ, to help the church go forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse number 1, notice what he says. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Friends, did you see that? The abundance of their affliction. They were going through hard times. Yes, they were. But notice what they had, Brother Raphael. They had an attitude of joy. Remember, we said this morning that joy is not based upon outward circumstances, yea, inward pleasing unto God. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yea, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. You know, a thankful heart is freely willing. Employing us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Friends, what a great attitude that these individuals had. Notice 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and verse 7. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, we see that Paul brings out this thankfulness and he uses the word hilarion, at least in the original language. We'll point it out here in a bit. But this I say, verse number 6, he who sows sparingly, he's talking about an attitude, will reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. So let everyone give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Here it is. For God loves a hilarious, a cheerful giver. Thankfulness. You know, when you're thankful to God, you give back to God. You first give yourself to God. It's all about what God has done for you. And what you want to do is lay down your life for him. But then I want to take a text from the Old Testament. Notice Psalm 100 as we look at this thankfulness continued. And friends, this is a mindset that we have to continue to have regardless of what's going on in our lives. This is difficult. I'm not going to say that it's easy, but we can attain it. As a matter of fact, Paul, by inspiration, in Philippians 4, verse number 4, he commands them. That's an imperative. He's not suggesting that they have rejoicing in their heart. He's telling them, hey, rejoice, be thankful. Psalm 100. Notice what he says, the five verses that are in this great division of Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? With singing. A joyful heart singing. It's amazing that when we're happy about something, whatever song is on our heart, that's what we sing, whether spiritual or secular. But really what God wants, he wants us, when we have joy in our hearts, to sing unto him. We see this in James chapter 4 and verse number 14. No, that's not right. James chapter 5 and verse number 13. He says, if anyone is merry, let him sing. If anyone is happy, Let them sing. Notice, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. You know, when we come to the house of God, we ought to be a thankful people. David said that. Oh, I was thankful when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. What an attitude that God wants us to have. Can you imagine as the church, as we are laboring together, doing our part, whether we are going to work, whether we're going to the grocery store, whether we're going out recreating, it doesn't matter what we're doing, we are going out as a unit, and we are thankful people regardless of what's going on in our lives. Notice what he says. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And the Bible says his truth endures for all generations. Last point, because God wants us to be a thankful people. And this is an attitude. Sometimes it's difficult to be thankful. And if we're not careful, when we're not thankful, we begin to complain. We begin to have a pity party. Woe is me. No, that's not the party that God wants us to have. We don't even see that with our Lord. As a matter of fact, we find Paul chastising himself because he understood that he had not yet attained. He wanted to make sure that Christ was the focal point. Philippians 3, verses 9 through 11. Paul said, I'm not going to complain. As a matter of fact, I glory, I take pleasure in infirmities, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But notice in Philippians 4, verse 6, I'll make this last point. As I was thinking about this, all of us need to be reminded of being thankful. That even in the midst of our prayer life, God says, when you come to me in prayer, I want you to be thankful. Notice what Paul says by inspiration in Philippians chapter 4. Starting up in verse number 5, let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is ready. He's at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Isn't that difficult sometimes? Be anxious. Seem like we're not patient. God, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, notice, by prayer and supplication with the attitude of what? Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for everything that we have. We ought to be thankful for the people that we are and striving to be. We ought to be thankful for life. Well, Brother Bonner, life is not all that good right now. Well, it'll get better. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We have to be thankful. We have to be grateful. And we have to do the will of God. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your what be known unto God? Moderation. Let that be known unto God that the Lord is at hand. He's going to take care of us. He'll take care of us. Are you thankful? Do we have to be like our nation and just say thank you one time a year? No. We need to be thankful every day. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for godliness. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the hard times and the good times. We're thankful when we are abounding, and we're thankful when we're broke. We're thankful. We ought to just be thankful to God. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for the story of the lepers that teaches us to slow down and see what you have done for us. To say thank you. To be grateful. To learn not to complain regardless what's going on in our lives. Help us to have great courage. Help us to fortify our character. Help us to be confident in you and not in ourselves. Knowing that you will take care of us. As long as we do your will, everything will go the way that you have desired for it to go. Father, at times we fail you. We say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't think. Unfortunately, we do things we know we shouldn't have done. We know, Father, that you are a forgiving God when we have repentance in our hearts, confession coming out of our mouths, and showing forth fruits worthy of repentance. We know, Father, you will be faithful and just to forgive us. So help us to be thankful this week. Help us to always work on our attitude that we can grow closer and closer to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that teaches us how to be thankful and what to be thankful for and why we should be thankful. Father, we're thankful for our leaders here. We pray to Father that you will continue to be with them, crown them with wisdom, be with their families. Pray to Father that they will all trust in thee. Be with all of us as members as we strive to work together and just being a light. Going out into a world that sometimes is not thankful and just challenging them to slow down and just be thankful for the air that they're breathing, for the benefits that you have blessed them with, even though they are not serving them. We know you reign on the just as well as the unjust, and for that we're thankful. That you treat us all the same in that manner. That you treat us differently when it comes to the inheritance. And Father, for that we're thankful. We bless thy name. We honor thee. And one day, Father, as we saw those who are around the throne, we will one day be around the throne if we're faithful and honor you and glorify you and be thankful unto you. Throughout eternity. We bless thy name. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to consider obedience to the gospel. You can show God that you're thankful for what his Son did for you. Even though you're not a member of the Lord's church, God still requires you to acknowledge what his Son did for you. And every first day of the week when the church gathers together to remember what the Lord has done, because you're not in Christ, God says, I want you to be a part of that. I want you to recognize and realize what my Son did for you. So you have to obey the gospel. It's good news. And this good news is what teaches us how to come into a relationship with the Father, to be right, to have our sins washed away. Oh, what better reason to obey the gospel and to have your sins washed away, putting you in a position to be thankful to God and showing God that you're thankful. And what he'll do is he'll take you out of the realm of sin and put you into the realm of salvation. No longer under the grips of Satan, now you are embraced by the Savior. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will add you to his Son's church. Here it is, the church of Christ. Church you can read about in your Bible. Church that Jesus Christ died for. Shed his blood for. Yea, one day we'll come back and get her. Praise God. He's going to come back and get his bride. We got to be part of that bride. Be faithful, even to the point of death. Be thankful, even to the point of death. God will give you the crown of life. Child of God, you need special prayer. You need encouragement. You haven't been thankful. Let's do that today as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.